Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Years ago, for those of you who don't know this story, I had the opportunity to climb Pikes Peak. And this has been, gosh, I'm 44, getting ready to be 45, I believe. I'm trying to remember how old I am. I was like, am I 44 or 45? and so I had an opportunity to climb Pikes Peak. And Pikes Peak is about 14,100 some odd feet or something around there, 14,000 feet up in the air. And so I climbed Pikes Peak. I actually went up Pikes Peak, and I noticed something that as I climbed Pikes Peak, as I came up, as I got higher up, things started changing. And the higher I got, the vegetation changed. The higher up you get, there's less plants. It's more rocks. Now, there were some mountain goats that thought life was grand, but I was up there with the mountain goats. I was walking around on some rocks, and I realized that I was high up when I looked out, and I was above the clouds. I thought, now that's just humanly not, this isn't fair. Like, I shouldn't be up this high doing this. And, you know, I guess I just thought it would be a great idea because I not only climbed it once, I climbed it twice. And what happened was when I climbed it, I think it was the second time, it was beautiful down at the bottom of the mountain, sunny, t-shirt weather. And they told us to be careful to make sure we brought our coats because they said when you get up higher, the weather can change. It got to the top, it was snowing. I was like, what? And then I came down the mountain, and people are out playing golf and having fun. But the higher up I went, my perspective changed based on how high I went. I kept getting higher up, my perspective changed. And you know what was amazing? How small everything looks at 14,000 feet. And I thought to myself, I am at the height where most people jump out of airplanes. You know, 10,000 feet, 12,000 feet, people jump out of an airplane. And I was looking and I realized that in our life as believers, as Christians, as a church, one thing that we have to do if we're going to step into all that God has for us in 2023, we have got to change our perspective. We got to come up. And if you notice the last couple of services, I've been talking to you guys about doing things differently in a new season and how things have changed. What are we doing? We're changing our perspective. We're changing the way we look at things. We're changing the way we see things. And one of the things we're doing is we're starting to think and look at things and say, what does God say about that? That ought to be your response to every situation in life. Not what does Aunt so-and-so. But what does God say? What does God say about that? What does God say? I feel like a failure. What does God say about that? I feel like I can't do it. What does God say about that? I feel like, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Well, okay, but what does God say about that? Because all of us know this in life, feelings change. Come on now. Because how many of you came in feeling one way? How many right now feel different? You know, feelings change. And, you know, I could get some of you real excited if I was like, and after service, we got a buffet. Some of you would be like, Lord Jesus, thank you. Yeah, all of a sudden your feelings change. So, but we have to change our perspective. And Isaiah talks about it. Look over here, Isaiah 55, verse 8. He says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways or your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are high or higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. But here's something that you have to understand as believers. God thinks of things differently than how we do. God has a different perspective on things. I mean, he sees things differently. I like this scripture that says he sees the end from the beginning. That's reversed. So he sees the end from the beginning. He sees what's completed. I mean, it's like we see beginning and end. God sees the end. And then the beginning, it's like it's reversed with him. And so what he's doing in our life is his thoughts are not our thoughts. So when you come up to a situation and to you it's overwhelming, to God he says, not too hard. But here's the thing that most believers do. Well, we can never know the thoughts of God, because his thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. True, he sees things differently, but there's scripture that tells you you can know what God's thinking. And not only can you know what he's thinking, I love what God did. He said, you want to know my thoughts on something? Yeah. Here, I'll give you what's called the Bible. Every thought that you need to know how I think about things, I'm going to write down in a book called the Bible, and I'm going to let you put it on your bookshelf at night, and you can know how I think about things. Well, how do I treat Aunt so-and-so who made me mad? What's the Bible say? What does that mean? What are God's thoughts on how I should treat my aunt? Now you say, why are you always using the aunt? I don't know. I mean, go uncle if you want. You know, how do I treat uncle so-and-so? But it says his thoughts are not our thoughts. But look at this, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. It says this, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Most people stop right there. Well, that kind of leaves you hopeless, because then you're like, oh, but I guess I'll never know what God has in store for me. I guess I'll never know what he thinks about me. I guess I'll never know. But look at the next verse, verse 10. But God did what? Has is past tense. Has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The scripture right there lets you know, number one, you can know his thoughts. You can know what God thinks about things. See, God's not hiding stuff from Christians. He's not. It's not like God is playing a game of hide and seek. Like, let me see if they'll seek me and they can find out what I'm thinking on this. No, God wants to tell you what he's thinking. And God wants to show you. See, you need to know what the Bible says, because if you don't know what the Bible says, if you don't spend time in the Word of God, it's very hard to know how God thinks about things. Amen? See, reading time in the Bible is not just about spending time with God just so I can have a check mark, but it's about God showing me what's going on in the Word so that I can know his thoughts, so that when a problem arises, then I go, oh yeah, the Bible says this. And here's what's awesome. God will remind you about what you read. A lot of people think Bible reading is check marks. I got news for you. This will rock a lot of boats, but it's truth. It doesn't matter whether or not you read your Bible. But, hold on. Because a lot of people go, well, good, I don't have to read my Bible. But people read their Bible all the time trying to get check marks to gain favor with God. But really, if you read your Bible and get the revelation that reading your Bible is about finding out what God has in the Word for you, and that Word becomes life to you, and you want to read the Word because you love God, not because you're trying to get a check mark. See, like, that's the thing that I struggled with my whole life when I was younger and first became a Christian. I would go to church to get check marks. And now let me explain this thing to you. I read my Bible to get a check mark. I go to church to get a check mark. I go to prayer to get a check mark, so that when I pray, then God will look at my check marks and say, granted to you will be my request. But that's not how God works. He operates by faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God. So you got to have faith, but... So why do I read my Bible? I read my Bible because I love God. I read my Bible because I want to know the plan and the will of God for my life. I want to know what he says. I want to know his thoughts. I want to find out what it is that he has for me, and so that I can lead my family and I can lead the church and I can all of this. I get into my Bible so that I can find out all those things. Why do I go to prayer? Because I know that prayer works, because the Bible told me so. And so I go to prayer to pray and to talk to God and to pray out the things of God, because I know God hears my prayers. And if I pray, then God hears me. Well, how do I know that? Because I spent time in the Bible. Well, then why do I go to church? Because the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of myself together with other believers. And I know that I bring something to church. and I bring a portion and I bring a supply. And when I come to church, I'm there not just for myself, but I'm there to be a blessing to others, and I'm there to press into God, and I'm there to get the word and to change my thinking and all this. So I do it all from the place of I love God. See, what it does is it gets of that whole religious thing, trying to earn it. That's why I said at the beginning with reading your Bible, yes, you need to read your Bible. Are you kidding me? But you don't read it to try to gain favor with God so that you can say, okay, God, I read my Bible 9 times a day. Will you answer my prayer? That's not how it works. And see, what happened in my life was I was always trying to earn it. But I had to change my perspective. I had to come up a bit. And I had to realize something. Are you ready for this? I had to realize that all things were available for me in Him and through Him. I had to realize that. And then I started thinking to myself, well, then why are people trying to earn something that's already the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? You know that you can't get any more righteous than you are right now if you're a Christian? You can't get any more righteous. It's a gift from God. So what's awesome about that is this. I'm righteous today. I'm righteous tomorrow. Righteousness just means right standing with God. But what happens if I forget? Because has anybody ever done this? Maybe I'm the only person that's done this. But has anybody ever been like, and especially now with a kid, whew, it's like you got to set time aside for everything because it all changes quickly, you know? I had to stay home with my son recently because daycare was canceled because the teacher was sick. So I stayed home with my son, and it was on my day off, so it was Dad and Dax Day 2.0, you know? And so I had in my mind how to do it, and I thought, okay, so this is what I'm going to do, and this is how it's going to work. I'm going to put Dax down for a nap, and then I'm going to read my Bible, spend time with God. Well, Dax wasn't having nap time. Dax was wanting to hang out with Dad time. And so Dax's nap time got shrunk down from usually an hour to, like, it was quick. And I was like, dude, just go to sleep. And he would go to sleep. And it was fast, but I was able to get some time in with God, but it wasn't the extent I wanted, but I got some time in with Him. And then He got up, and I took care of Him the rest of the day, and then I think at that night, when I was going to bed, I read a little bit more, and I fell asleep. So does God love me the same if I read that much Bible than if I spent 2.5 hours in the Word? Because most of the time, people think this is God's favor, and this person over here, you missed it, and God don't love you today. But that's not how God operates. Change of perspective. See, we have to think about things, and we have to ask ourselves this question, what does God say about that? And what it does, you know what's awesome, guys, about reading the Bible? You know what's so awesome about finding out what God thinks? When you find out those things, you find out God made it real easy. It's man that made it hard. You know, does anybody know history, church history a little bit? You know who Martin Luther is? Not Martin Luther King Jr., but Martin Luther. Martin Luther was, I think it was the 95, his thesis statements that he nailed on the doors. In Martin Luther, back in the day, got a revelation that the Bible was basically written for common man, for everybody. And he got this revelation that you could walk in the promise. He got this revelation back, I mean, years, hundreds of years ago. So he got this revelation, and he, you know what he did? He went around and put this thesis, these points on people's doors and nailed them on the doors. But you say, well, what's so big about that? He went against the Catholic Church. Because they had taught him in order to be righteous, you had to do all these things, and you could never obtain it, and you could never get it, and you could never be good enough, and the Bible wasn't for you, and you couldn't pray long enough, and you could never have it. And he said, wait a second, the Bible does say it's for us. It's for every man, woman, and child. It's for all of us, young and old alike, and it's for all of us who believe it. And so he went and nailed this on the doors, and it tore the whole world up. But you know what he did? Because he did that, we have our Bibles today. Because he did that, we believe like we do today. He brought freedom to people. He said, guess what, y'all? You don't have to climb up 95 flights of steps to become something. You can step right into the presence of God. That's good news. And what happened is Martin Luther did that. So what he did is he had a change of perspective. He saw things differently. And I, you know, for myself and my personal life, I've had to stop and just say, okay, why do I believe that? Why do I believe that? And a lot of times I'll find out, hey, because it was in the Bible. That's good. I'm like, yeah, all right. But other times I go, I don't even know why I believe that. You ever hear the story about the lady with the ham? This mom had a ham, and she put it in a pot thing, and she cut the ends off, stuck it in there. And so her daughter said one day, she asked her why she did it. And the mom said, well, I don't know. I saw mom do it. And so basically she called her mom and said, you know, well, why did you do it? She said, well, I don't know. I saw grandma do it. And, you know, well, why do you cut the ends off the ham? Because she thought there was a secret to the recipe to get the ham so good. So she was trying to cut the ends off, and she kind of went down the line, and she found out, and grandma, she finally got to grandma and said, grandma, why do you cut the ends off the ham when you cook it? Because I couldn't get it to fit in the pan. It just got passed down. You know, they thought it was for flavor. Grandma did it because she couldn't get it to fit in the pan. But, you know, a lot of times that's how it is with our life, is we have to stop and say, okay, wait a second, God, what's your thoughts on this? I'm not opposed to somebody telling you things. You know, yeah, grandma and grandpa's tell you stuff. But find out for yourself. Not just so that grandma and grandpa know, but you can say to yourself, well, grandma and grandpa said that because God said it. Amen? So what is God's thoughts on it? Number one, you can know his thoughts. Number two, you can change your perspective and realize things are off limit. There's nothing off limits. You can have whatever it is. For all the promises of God, 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen. How many of you know all the promises of God are yes and amen for the children of God? That's good news. That, and I love that, because that basically means over there in 1 John 5:14, one of my favorite scriptures, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything before him, anything that's in his word, anything, then we know that we have the request or the petitions that we've asked of him. Pull up 1 John 5:14. Could you pull that up? Yeah, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he does what? According to his what? His will. What's his will? His word. What's his word? The Bible. So next scripture, verse 15. Skip over. And if we know that he hears us, so right now you already know he hears you, right? Then what happens when he hears you? Whatsoever we ask. Whatsoever is what? Whatsoever. Whatsoever is what? Whatsoever is in his word, which is his will. We know that we have the petitions or the request that we desired of him. That means anything you ask of him, if it's in the word of God, it's yes and amen for you who believe it. So when I get up in the morning, like we said last week, you know, we said start change our perspective and speak and talk and encourage yourself. You remember that? We said that? When you wake up in the morning, the first thing out of your mouth shouldn't be, oh, my leg hurts. Some of you are like, you know, that's not the first thing out of my mouth. It is, get your arm out of my face, honey. You know, that was me the other day. You know, I had to hit my wife. I said, scoot over. You're pushing me out of the bed. Like, not enough room in here for both of us. Move. I always lay like this. I'm so tall, you know. I spread out. And my son does it, which is even funnier. Like, he's in his crib. Like, life is great, you know. But when I get up in the morning, I shouldn't say, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, it's going to be a rough day. It's going to be a rough day today. Got a hard day at work. Well, yeah, you got a hard day at work, but God will give you the strength to get through it. Well, my leg hurts. Yeah, I know your leg hurts, but doesn't the Bible say that you're strong in the Lord? Come on now. Because your words have power. Well, how do you know your words have power? Because I've read the Bible, and that's what the Bible says. And the Bible's the truth. And the Bible's the living word of God. See, I got into the word. I got into the word because I love God. I started changing my thought. I started realizing this. Pastor Marvin helped me with this. He said, your job is to read the word. The Holy Spirit's job is to write it down on your heart and bring it to your remembrance. Because I would always try so hard, you know. Got to memorize this thing. Mm. But he said, just read the word. And the more I started reading it, because I loved him, I wanted to know what he had, his will, his plan. It's like the word creates a hunger that can't be satisfied with anything else but the word. Anybody in here ever just crave something? Like you crave it? Like, you know, come on now. Like you crave cake. You're just like, the other night my wife, for some reason, she's not in here so I can tell you this. Some reason at like 9:30 at night, she was like, I want bacon. I was like, yes, Lord, I want bacon. We didn't have no bacon. So she was like, we don't have no bacon. And she was like, I'm just craving bacon. And I was like, you know, I guess I can go to Walmart and get some bacon if you want some bacon. I learned when she was pregnant, she would want, like, one night she had a hankering for Freddy's hot fries. Woo, Jesus. Freddy's hot fries. You know what Freddy's hot fries are? Those things are disgusting. And she was like, I want Freddy's hot fries. Like, you want, every guy in here knows when your wife's pregnant, they want Freddy's hot fries. You put your coat on and go get Freddy's hot fries. There's no questions about why. And it don't matter if you got to drive to where Freddy's home plant is and get the Freddy's. You go to Freddy's plant and you get the hot fries. So you don't come back with no hot fries. So I came back with like 3 or 4 different types of hot fries because I was like, what if this one doesn't work? And what if she changes? And what if Freddy's not good enough? Now she wants Andy hot fries. And what if Andy's not good enough? And then she wants, you know. And so I got all these hot fries and she ate them. And then her hankering changed like within 20 minutes. I don't want no hot fries. I want this. I'm like, Lord Jesus, can you just stay with something for me for 5 minutes, you know? She would get these hankerings for it. But you know, like with God's word, it creates that hunger that nothing, you just like, nothing fills it. That's why the world has no happiness and satisfaction. It's like they got a hankering for hot fries and they're trying to eat a potato. It don't work. When you got a hunger, the world tries to fill the hunger with everything else. That's why they keep searching. That's why they keep looking. What are they trying to do? Trying to satisfy their hunger. And it's only found in one place, getting in His Word. But the more time you spend in the Word, the more you get that hunger for more of the Word. The more you find out that's not enough time. 5 minutes is not enough. You want a little bit more. It's just like there's that increase of hunger. And the more hunger you have, the more you'll read the word, the more you'll put the word in you, the more it'll displace all those wrong thoughts. And all of a sudden, you start thinking things differently, and your perspective starts to change. And then when a situation comes up in your life, now you don't see it the same way. This is something you get a hold of, this statement right here. Just another opportunity to prove that the word of God works. That's all every situation is in your life. You walk into anything, and all you got to say is just another opportunity to prove the Word of God works. You know, when you get the bill, and they say they need payment now, just another opportunity to prove the Word of God works. When you step into that doctor's office, we've all been there. Go to a doctor, just another opportunity to prove the Word of God works. You know, I went to the doctor recently, had to go, I think it was a couple weeks ago, I had to go for a checkup. And every time I would go to the doctor before this, my blood pressure would just, man, it would shoot up. And I'd always tell them. And so, once again, here we go, changing perspective, amen? Changing, seeing things from God's point of view. So I started thinking to myself, why? Like, why? Why is it elevated? Like, why? Like, what's going, I'm just going in here. I'm not, like, camping out. I'm just, like, why? So I started thinking about it. And I started realizing, I got the wrong thought on this thing. And so I would go in, and they would check my blood pressure, and it'd go up. And they'd be like, your blood pressure is real high. And I'd go, I know. I'd be like, go out and take me to Applebee's, and it'll go down, you know. And so I kept, you know, telling them. And so finally I had to start changing what I was saying. I had to start changing how I was thinking. I had to get a different perspective on it. And so I had to go to the doctor, and I had to go in for a checkup because they make you come every so many years and all this. And so I had to go in, and I got ready to go in, and so I just prayed about it, and then I just trusted God with it. Just said, I'm not gonna fret about this. I'm not gonna worry about this. Just your word works. Same God at church, same God at the doctor, same God. I reminded myself what the Bible said. Reminded myself, started changing my perspective. And so I went into the doctor, and here comes the lady, and you know, they come back and they get you, and they put you on that scale that's so accurate it scares you. I said, this thing is not of God. You know, I'm like, Jesus, no. You know, they put you on it and you're just like watching the numbers, and I'm like, if I don't see it, I can't know it, and then I'm good. So, you know, and she's like, good. And I'm like, okay. And they take me in the room, and you know, they know I'm in there for a checkup, so she comes in and she says, okay, we're gonna check your blood pressure. I was like, okay, cool. And so they checked my blood pressure, and guess what? It was normal. She said, your blood pressure's normal. So then I looked at my wife, and I said, what was yours when you got yours checked last week? And I started picking on her and joking with her about it. But when I came out of there, I thought, change of perspective. I had to change some things. I had to see things differently, and I had to change something. But one of the things I found out was I changed what I was thinking by finding out God's thoughts on situations. And I started saying that. And I started thinking on that. See, what you don't do in life is this. Don't wait for an emergency to happen to build your faith up. Build your faith up now. Amen. Because I've been guilty of this. All of us in this room could raise our hand. Sometimes what we do is wait till emergency happens, then try to build our faith up. Try to shove it in as fast as you can. Go to the doctor, you get a bad report. Ah, got to build my faith up. It takes long to get there. If you stay built up, then when you go to the doctor, that displacement has happened, and then what comes out of you is God's word. Just another opportunity to prove the word of God works. And you're not moved by it. But what happens with a lot of people is they live this life, and then they wait for an emergency to happen to get into the word. Get into the word every day. Get into the word every day and spend time in God's word. You don't have to spend hours. Start 15 minutes. Start 10 minutes. Work up. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, simple practical thing as your pastor I can encourage you with the word of God. Don't try to read from Genesis to Revelation, because half of you are going to hit Leviticus and throw in the towel. Leviticus is a hard book because there's a lot of stuff in there. And most of the time you get through Genesis, and you're like, this is awesome. There's wars and violence and fighting. This is great. And then you get to Leviticus, and you're like, numbers, more numbers. Don't do this. Don't do that. And it's just like, it's a lot to read. But start over there in Psalms and Proverbs. Start over there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hit that. Start over there in that. Start reading that, and then that'll get you going. And don't try to read it all in one day. You know, you can take bite size of God's word and it'll change your life because it's living. Amen. So you could take 15, 20 minutes, meditate on it. It'll change your life. And the last thing is this. Number one, you know, you can have God's thoughts. You can know his thoughts. Number two, we change our perspective. We find out that things are available to us in his word. But number three is this. Realize that when you start to change your perspective, your flesh won't like it. Now, I said this last week, and I'll say it again to encourage you. There's always naysayers in your life. You know what a naysayer is? They'll just tell you you can't do it. You're always going to have that. Doesn't even matter if it's not even related to the things of God. In life, you have that. You tell people you're going to do something, and you'll have people that will tell you you can do it. You have other people tell you you're crazy. You have other people laugh at it. It just happens. And that's how it is with God's word. You'll tell people, you know, people be like, well, what are you going to do? And you're like, I'm going to believe God. And they're like, yeah, that won't work. You'll have it all the time. That's why you come to church. It's another reason to come to church, because you got people that encourage you, and they can to encourage you to stand on the things of God. But you always have naysayers. You always have people tell you can't do something. But you will always, your flesh will not like it when you want to spend time in the Word of God and change your perspective. Changing your perspective, your flesh don't like it. Because can we be honest about the flesh? It likes easy. You say, what do you mean by flesh? This. You're a three-part being. The Bible says you're three-part. You're a spirit, which is what's behind the eyeballs, the real you. You got a mind, a soul, but then you have a body. This is what dies. What goes to heaven is what's behind the eyeballs. Okay? But this is what touches this world. And this likes things easy. It likes it. It likes it when it's easy. It doesn't like you to rock the boat. doesn't like it when all of a sudden you go, we're going to change our perspective on something. Your flesh will be like, we don't need to change our perspective. It's really good right now. Your flesh doesn't like that. But your flesh don't go with you. And your flesh, you got to work on not yielding to the flesh, but you also have to work on realizing that your flesh will always want to try to do the easiest way. So, but you don't listen to it. If you don't believe your flesh likes it easy, let me give you an example. If I were to tell all of you in here, some of you might never come back after I say this. Yeah, the computer says amen. If I were to tell you that starting this week, we are all joining the gym. And what we are going to do is we're going to go to the gym every Sunday after church. Okay, so some of y'all flesh right now is like, Lord Jesus, run from this church. Run out the doors. Don't ever go back. But okay, so here's what happens, though. You go to the gym, right? So what I found out in life is when you go to the gym, you start working out and, you know, you're pushing your flesh and it's hard. You wake up and you're sore, but you keep going to the gym because you're wanting to get physically fit because you made a New Year's resolution with your wife and your family, so you got to go. And you go, what happens? So you go to the gym and you lift weights. Your flesh gets used to how you've always done it, so it likes that routine. So it'll say, well, you've done 20 pounds. Let's just stay at 20 pounds. You know, you always run a mile. Just run a mile. But when you tell your flesh, we're not going to run a mile today. We're going to run two. Your flesh goes, Lord, we're going to die. Lord, you're going to see Jesus today. Today's your day. You're going to see. Don't you run 2 miles. And then it'll be like, but you got to go get some food, and you got to get home to the kid, and you got to do this, and your flesh doesn't like it. So what I found out is in my life, when I would run, I used to run outside all the time, and I would run, and I would be like, okay, I'm going to run a mile. And the second my flesh said, you're done, I would say, we ain't done till I say we done. And I would go 1.2 miles, 1.1 miles. I would say, you don't tell me when I do what I need to do. I tell you, and you listen to me. See, that's your flesh. So when you go with the Bible, you say, what's that got to do with changing my perspective? When you get into the Word of God, your flesh, some of you just sitting quiet, drives you. This right here, some of y'all flesh is like, whoa, talk, Pastor, talk. See, when you sit down, your flesh doesn't like it when you sit down and your whole family's gone and you take this and you shut this off and you throw it on the couch and you say, not answering it for 20 minutes, I'm talking to God. Some of your flesh says, but what happens with Facebook? What happens if so-and-so texts you and they need you? I got news for y'all. We survived 40 years without cell phones. We could probably do it for 20 minutes. You know, it's okay. It's okay. You can take 5 minutes. But your flesh won't like it when you put that phone down and you say, I can't, no phone today. Your flesh won't like it when you say, are you ready? Netflix or Bible? See, you say, why are you preaching that? Because I've done it. Netflix or Bible? I'm binge watching my show and I'm on episode 5. And it's an intense one. And you're like, after this, we're done. I'm going to read my Bible. And your flesh will be like, just go get a bag of chips and watch episode 6 because it's better than episode 5. And you'll go in there. I've done this. Okay, I'll just have a chip and I'll watch 10 minutes of it. Then I'll read my Bible. And then next thing you know, you're 5 hours into it and you're 10 episodes deep and you're like, my whole day is gone. So what happens? It's the flesh. The flesh don't like it. But I will tell you, it gets easier if you keep doing it. So if it works in the negative, it can work in the positive. It's hard at the beginning because your flesh don't like it. But the more you do it, the more repetition you have, the easier it gets. So that's why I tell people, when they're changing their perspective and you're starting to think of things differently, get into the Word of God, and you're starting to talk to God, don't try to do an hour. Just start with 10 minutes. Just get consistent with 10 minutes. And then what happens is 10 becomes easy. Now do 15 or 20. Then 20, then add more to it. You know, it's like when you're a kid reading a book for a book report, you can't sit down the day before and read the whole book and write the book report unless you're my brother. My brother did that. I don't know how he did it. I've read whole books, y'all, whole books, and wrote book reports and, like, did not so grand. My brother read a book and read 20 minutes into it and wrote a book report on 8 pages and got an A+. He's not here today, so I can tell on him, too. It's a great service. I could just use all these people in my examples, and they're not here to defend themselves. So I want to encourage you. As a church, we're working on changing our perspective. We're working on changing how we see things. So number one, we can know his thoughts. How do you know his thoughts? By getting into the Word of God. Number two, when you get into the Word, you find out all things are available to you. You find out that it changes your perspective. It changes the way you read your Bible. It changes the way you pray. It changes your whole life. And it changes it for the better. And it actually makes life enjoyable. You find out you're not struggling and you're not trying to figure. It's like you just start to enjoy life. And then not only that, realize that when you start to do that, your flesh will want to tell you certain things, but just don't listen to it. Start being consistent, small things, and get consistent in that. And as you do that, what will happen is your life will start to change and things will change, amen, and it'll get better. Now, that's what we're doing as a church. We're believing God that we're stepping into something new. That scripture that we've had every week is over in Isaiah where it says, "Behold, I'm doing something new." It says, "Forget the former things, and behold, I'm doing something new." And we said this, that we felt as a church, it was like a month ago, that God shifted things in the church, and new things started happening, and we had to change some things. And he started changing things with me first and my wife, but then what happened is God said, okay, now there's something new. Now let's start talking. Let's change what we're saying. Now he's saying change your perspective. Change how you see things. How many of you guys can see where it's going? Because if you see yourself as defeated and lacking and struggling and never having and I'm always down on the bottom, it's very hard to do things for God. But if you see things as, I'm not a failure, I'm an overcomer, I'm the head and not the tail, I'm on top and not underneath, I'm blessed, I can do things through Christ, even though it may be uncomfortable, I can do this, amen? Then when something comes up, you'll be able to do it. And it just gives you kind of that boost that you need. And it changes, man, it changes everything. Amen? It's one of those things when you become a parent, it's like I told you at the beginning of service with my son, when my son was born, you know, it changed my life. It changed my wife and I. It just changed everything. Anybody relate when you're driving your kid home in that car and you're just like 10 and 2 and people are driving, you're like, they're crazy. What are they doing? Slow down. And you're like, usually that's you passing them. And, you know, you're trying to watch the kid, and you're trying to protect them. And, yeah, I mean, you're just like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Like, how do we do this? That was my wife and I. How do we do this? Like, do we put the baby here? Do they sleep here? Like, and you're constantly watching them. Like, you're sleeping, and they're sleeping in that bassinet thing beside your bed, and you're, like, doing this number. You know, and you're looking at them, and then you close your eyes, and you're doing this. And how many of you guys know after a while it wears you out? You know, then you start seeing, like, double kids, and you're like, did I have two? Remember, I just seen two. And then all of a sudden it goes from that to now they're in their own crib. Woo, Lord Jesus. And you're like, it's going to be a good day. They're in their own crib. And then you sit there on the camera and you're watching them and you're zooming in. You're like, are they breathing? And then you go in and you check them, you put your hand on them. And then you make sure everything's okay. But eventually you have to realize that what you preach to people, you have to practice. And eventually you realize, Lord, I trust you with Dax. I told the Lord this when Dax moved to his crib. This is what I told God. You can take care of him, and if he needs my help, let me know, and I'll get in there and help him. And then what do? I go to sleep. My wife will tell you that one night she was sitting in bed. It was after Dax was born, and we were in there, and she had to change her perspective on some things, and she was just real nervous with Dax. I had gotten to the point, I don't know if I was just sleep deprived or what, but I was just kind of like, I wasn't thinking about it, and she was. And so I woke up middle of the night, and she was on her phone. I mean, it's like 3 in the morning. She's on her phone. I'm like, what are you doing? And she was researching all this stuff on Dax. Like, you know, da-da-da-da, Dax, and like, what do I do with my baby, and how do I know this, and this, and this, and this? Come on, parents. And you get into fear real quick, right? And so she was afraid. And basically, the Holy Spirit got a hold of her at 4 in the morning, and she'd have to tell you the exact wording of it, but the Holy Spirit changed her perspective and basically said, you can't, basically told her she couldn't keep doing it, but that he would take care of him. And he said, do you trust me as much as you're trusting this? And she was like, well, no. And he was like, well, trust me. Okay. And so she put her phone up and went to bed. And after that, she never dealt with it. But what did she have to do? Change her perspective. And I'll tell you this much. I would, if my wife was in here, she'd probably tell you there was opportunities where she was tempted to look at her phone. Our phones are awesome, but our phones sometimes are a hindrance. And sometimes they get you more into fear than they do into faith. Because everything's at your fingertips, you can find out everything. The clouds are black. What do I look? Oh, it's a tornado. Yeah, if it's a tornado, you'll know. Don't worry about it. I mean, you know, seriously, like, don't spend hours on your phone looking at storms. Don't spend hours on your phone. Don't spend hours on your phone. Then we're going to pray. But don't spend hours on your phone reading about all your symptoms. Google will diagnose you wrong every time. 100% success rate. They always do. Because you say, how do you know? I have my master's degree in Googleology. I've done it. Don't sit on Google and just spend hours. Because it's not good for people to do that, because then they get into fear. You know, because you're like, oh, my leg hurts. And then they're like, does your leg swell? It's swollen. Is it red? It's red. You know. Is it discolored? It's discolored. Well, it's probably because you sat on it and you were playing Nintendo for 2 hours. Like, maybe that's the reason why. But, you know, you look at that and then all of a sudden, guess what happens? You start getting afraid. Come on now. You start getting afraid and then you're like, my leg hurts. And then all of a sudden, Google always does it. Google or WebMD. It's WebMD usually. WebMD always will always go this route. It don't matter if your head hurts, your eye hurts, your leg hurts, your toe hurts, your finger hurts. They'll diagnose you with cancer. Every time. It's like, your finger hurts. Yep, you have cancer of the finger. What? Like, what? You say, how do you know that? Because, guys, I did it in my life. And I got so gripped with fear that I couldn't even function right. And it's because this was being fed with Google instead of being fed with this. I could tell you every symptom under the sun, but I wasn't able to quote you any hardly scriptures to support it. So when I changed my perspective, I started saying no to that and more to this. Then things started changing in my life. People say, you know, with me today, they'll say, well, you know, you've changed. I went, the other day, I go to a counselor probably once every 2-3 months just for myself. And I went in there and I was talking to him, and he said to me, he said, I've never seen you so, you're just like, he said it this way, he tried to think of a word, a doctor word, you know. He said, you're so balanced. He said, you're just so full of joy. He said, you're a different person than you were 2 years ago. I said, yeah, it's because it's the word. It's the word. The word worked in me. It's the word. I got so much word in me, it started pushing out fear. Started pushing out anxiety. Started pushing out all those things. I had to change my perspective. I had to come up and I had to realize, wait a second, you want a better life for me, God. You don't want me living anxious all the time. You don't want me living in fear all the time. You don't want me worried. And let me just say this. Don't worry, and then I'll pray with you. Don't worry about your kids so much. Grandparents, don't worry about your kids so much. You got to trust God with them. Instead of worry, pray for them. Declare God's word over them. What about my kid is acting crazy? The word of the Lord is working in them just like it worked in you. This guy right here was crazy when he was younger. He did crazy things. Dave Finley and I have our status in crazy. I'm just joking with Dave. But one of the things that happened is this. The reason I'm here, people praying for me. People speaking the word over me. People believed in me. But I'm not going to sit there and worry about my kid so much I keep myself up. Grandparents, don't do it. Don't be, oh, my kid. What about my kid? They're not. Just say this when you think about your kid. I thank you, Lord, that you're working in their life and they're going to serve you all the days of their life. Thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon them. Your power is working within them. Thank you, Lord, that you put people around them. Thank you, there's angels around them. Thank you that your hand is upon them. When they sleep at night, mom, dad, thank you, Lord, that you watch over my kid when they sleep. The angels of God camp around about them. Thank you, Lord, if there's a problem, Holy Spirit, you show us it and you help us overcome it. And you tell us what to do and how to do it. Thank you that there's peace in this house and we're not nervous and we're not afraid about things. Well, what happens if my kid gets sick? Thank you, Lord, that the healing power, God, that works in me is working in my kid. And I thank you that they come up and they're healed and they're strong and they're healthy and there's no lasting symptoms in their body. That's what you do. What is that? It's a change of perspective. Because it beats a whole lot better than staying up all night. It beats having to stand over the crib for 2 hours and trying to just watch. Just trust the Lord. Come on now. We dedicated babies today. What did we do? We dedicated babies to the Lord, but we said, Mom, Dad, you're trusting the Lord now. That means when things happen, you go, Lord, I trust you right now. You know, when kids doing crazy things and running through the house, Lord, I trust you. Help me to raise them. Show me what to do. Amen. Did you guys get anything from this? All right, let me pray with you today, and I'm going to let you go. You guys have been attentive. I just got it all out. Nothing left. Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for these men and women here today. And Lord, just our hunger for you. And Father, I just pray that for every person in the sound of my voice today, that we just determine right now, Lord, just to change our perspective, to gain your thoughts on things, whether it's in our family, our marriage, our relationships, our children. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for the living word of God. We thank you that you show us scriptures that we can stand on, scriptures that we can read, that we can meditate on, that will help change our perspective. And as we do that, it will push out doubt, unbelief, fear, anxiety, nervousness, all those things that are not of you. And it will allow that word just to stay right there on the inside of us to lead and guide and direct us. And we just thank you, Lord, that we're coming up. We just determine right now we're changing our perspective on things. We're doing it today. We're going to change how we see things. We're going to start saying to ourselves, what does the word say? And Holy Spirit, we thank you that when we ask that question, you'll show us. You'll show us what the word says. You'll show us and you'll help us to understand it and help us to apply it to our life. And we thank you for it today in Jesus' name.